Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ryan owns it.
Is that the red light? Is that the red light?
The camera. Listen. The red light is on, and guess what? On a day where we're supposed to be celebrating love, we are going to discuss the slap heard around the world, and I'm not talking about Will Smith or Chris Rock. Oh, how fitting. He was waiting for that. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to discuss the WrestleMania 40 press conference, press event, whatever the heck you want to call it, in Las Vegas a few days ago. And we got to get to the bottom of this. I don't have time for this, brothers. Let's just get right to the point. Because this is not the WWE that we grew up on. So thank you for everybody who is going to join us. Because, gentlemen, we spent all that goddamn time last week staying up late trying to figure this out, and they took us in a completely different direction. I can't take this once again. Let's get this show started.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yes.
What was that? I didn't hear the woo.
Hear the music. It left me.
No. Just hit it one more time. Go ahead. Just hit it. We'll read it. Yeah.
Woo!
There it is. Welcome to the Wrestle Realm Now podcast, where we take a deeper dive into the world of professional wrestling. Take one guess. Now, you can watch all of our Wrestling Realm content anytime on youtube.com/thewrestlingrealm. Do me a favor and follow us on all social media platforms, Instagram, Threads, X, and Facebook at Wrestling Realm. Don't forget two W's. Like, subscribe, and engage in the conversation with us. Also, you can download all of our audio content anytime on Anchor, Stitcher, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. Pretty much wherever you can get all your podcast needs. Watch and subscribe to our Twitch channel at The Wrestling Realm. I am your host, the big dog, the realness. The real Dwayne Allen. He's your host. Brother Hugh has a third. A to the A to the S. T to the H to the E. 3 to the R. To the D. In the building. Mr. Super Producer. Live and in living color. No pun intended, Brandon. Sorry. And he is the guy. He is your host. The Belt King. Brandon the guy. Who is being disguised right now as has the third doorknob setup, if you're watching. Yep. And he is your host. The heart and soul. The man. The myth. The legend. One of the hardest working men in this industry, but guess what? He also turned heel at some point. Brian H. Waters in the building. And guess what? In case you haven't noticed or you don't recognize what you're looking at or listening to, we are the Wrestling Realm. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, wait a minute. How am I supposed to know that these guys are the Wrestling Realm? And what can I do to look and act just like them? I got you covered, because guess what? Da-da-da-da! Shop now at WrestleRealm.com for all your merchandise and apparel needs. We have t-shirts, hoodies, mugs, and more. So if you want to support this brand, look like us, show that you're a proud wrestling fan, head over to WrestleRealm.com for all your Wrestling Realm merchandise, apparel, and much more. See, we always do our best to try to take care of business. Now, granted, if that's not enough and you want more, don't you worry, because guess what? We also have a Patreon channel. So for exclusive shows and bonus materials, subscribe to our Patreon channel. There you have Brian Nature's thoughts. Soon to come, Realness Reacts. Soon to come, many more stories that we can't say on the air. We are beefing up our Patreon channel. Please be patient with us where we have so much. We even have Wrestling Figure Wednesdays. That's right. I'm an avid figure collector. If you don't know that, you can find that out if you subscribe for just as low as a dollar on patreon.com/thewrestling_realm. Once again, for all exclusive shows and bonus materials, that is where you can find all of those things. But guess what? We are definitely on the road to WrestleMania. So guess what? If you would like to have, if you are looking to purchase tickets to concerts, live shows, sporting events, and more, have it at SeatGeek.com, where you can use promo code WrestlingRealm to save yourself $20 off of any one-time purchase of $50 or more using promo code WrestlingRealm. Two W's, all caps, all one word. Now, with that being said, WrestleMania is around the corner, and guess what? Tickets left, everything you have. You not only is WrestleMania around the corner, you have all the fun things that come with WrestleMania season. So there are plenty of live shows. There's plenty of music. There's plenty of things going down, especially in the Philadelphia area come this spring. Do yourself a favor. Save yourself $20 using promo code WrestlingRealm off any one-time purchase of $50 or more. If you're worried about filling up the $50, trust me, if you look at prices these days, inflation is a real thing. So once again, use promo code WrestlingRealm with our partners at SeatGeek.com. Promo code, once again, is WrestlingRealm. See, I said it like five times, so it should resonate in the people's brains. But guess what? Once again, if that is still not enough for you, we're still going because business is good. You can advertise with the Wrestling Realm. So if you would like to advertise with the Wrestling Realm, please email us at WrestlingRealm@gmail.com with the subject title Advertise. Partner up with us. Advertise your business. Advertise your show. Advertise whatever it is that you have coming. We will send you an email. We respond back to you with a price list and some more details. But you can definitely contact us at WrestlingRealm@gmail.com. We have two main segments for our show. And if you would like to be a big part and sponsor those segments, this is where you need to do it. So contact us at WrestlingRealm@gmail.com. Remember, it's two W's, WrestlingRealing, WrealM@gmail.com with the subject title Advertise. Now, speaking of advertising, we have entered into season two of the latest and the greatest new addition to the Wrestling Realm brand, Championship Culture. Championship Culture is sweeping the wrestling nation. We just came off one of the craziest shows that they've done so far for season two. Brother Hugh has the third, and the Belt King himself, Brandon the Guy, have diligently worked hard to get season two up and running. 25 complete new episodes coming soon. We are on officially episode five. And if you have not figured out where to find Championship Culture, let me do you a favor once again and tell you where you can find it at youtube.com/thewrestlingroom. Playlist Championship Culture. Catch up on all 25 episodes of season one. And guess what? You can catch up on the first five episodes of season two. With that being said, Brother Brandon, Brother Hugh, do you all want to talk about what the latest episode of Championship Culture season two was all about?
What did we talk about? We acknowledge our tribal chief and the royal family, the only royal family,
the only
acknowledge me.
Brandon, how fitting right now.
How fitting.
I'm listening because wrestling has more than one royal family. Go ahead.
But we did a quick breakdown of the IC or the Intercontinental Championship. And basically we gave you a rundown of how, like it says on the screen, the bloodline runs through that belt. That can pretty much be deemed the trademark belt for the bloodline. Randy, would you like to elaborate on that?
No, go ahead. You're doing a great job. You go right in.
You sit back and you just watch and you just laugh at it. You just watch. They do this every week.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's definitely a show people need to hit that Championship Culture playlist for.
crazy. We had something special happen yesterday. Couple things happened. We had a return guest. It was kind of fitting that we talked about the bloodline because it kind of like an honorary oos of the wrestling realm. Kind of like, you
way
know.
To put it. How fitting.
I would have said that. So it was kind of fitting that he was on that. So we had E-Rock.
Day one-ish.
Yes. I'm gonna keep calling him. Did y'all know that we shared a birthday? I always called him my birthday twin.
We had that conversation.
I did not know that. This is
10 years ago.
Yeah. When we figured it out, we was like, that's crazy. So yeah, Eric was there, you know. He even played with the outro and played that famous song, which I know he's dying.
You know why Pac then jammed out to it.
Yes, sir. Let's
give it to people just a little bit. Just a little bit.
Go ahead. Hit it.
A little taste.
Mm-hmm. Give a little.
Because we can't be up here talking about the good music, you know, and they don't know what we're talking about.
The podcast of pain.
Yeah, yes, especially the people riding in their cars, you know.
Where's Drew? Drew might be at work listening right now, so. I don't know.
Let's do it for Drew. Drew wants to rock out to the podcast of pain. Do you want to just play the whole video, Brandon, or are you trying to find the audio?
No, I'm just going to play the audio while he was talking.
All right, go ahead. There you go. Piece it together. But go ahead. Nobody told me my brother E-Rock was going to be on Championship Culture yesterday.
Hey, look. First of all, I didn't even know.
Oh, yeah. He did say that, bro. That brother Brandon definitely said he kept it away from you, which I don't know how he did that because you guys,
I don't trust.
So I know how to deal with him. I'm talking right now.
I don't.
Okay, enjoy it. You got it. You're right.
Because what you did, right? You keep holding us. You keep keeping stuff away from me. That's not cool. You see what I'm saying? And I'm gonna have to put my foot down. And you're not gonna like it. You feel me? You feel me? It's like you ain't been answering my calls today.
See. That usually means he got a belt in it he's not going to tell you about. That's what that usually means.
Right.
He doesn't answer phone calls when belts come in.
That is true. He got something up his sleeve.
Because I don't know where it's at.
No, it's all good, man. While Brandon's just trying to figure that out.
I know I had named it.
Yeah, we got it. Here we go. Let's get a people a test. There you go.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Right. And I bring the game. King of Kings, call me the game.
let that music hit.
I'm with it, Dylan. I'm with it. I'm ready.
Let that music hit somewhere and you'll know it. Unlike most of the Rebel stuff outside of their main hits.
Bro.
Let me just say this about Dylan's comment. Dylan, he talks all this trash on the air. Let him. You know he said, I didn't answer him, right? You see how he's going through withdrawals, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't do anything else but talk to him. But back to Championship Culture. So, yeah, we had that happen yesterday. The Bloodline has coursed through that title, which has a huge lineage of prestige, a huge lineage of who's who when it comes to wrestling. If you want to get some tidbits, see some belts, if you want to just, you know, join in that conversation about the Intercontinental title, and who knows, it could be – they'll drop a little preview for the future, because I don't know if anybody paid attention. And the new Wrestling Realm intro, there's a line that says, never duplicate it. But I swear, if you watch any episodes of the Wrestling Room Now podcast, and sometimes even Championship Culture. About a week later, or even the next day, you'll see some of the things that we say come to life. You'll see some of the things that we mention happen.
Suspicious.
It's crazy because I'm like, you got to be kidding me. But all I'm going to say this, if you want to see a good episode of Championship Culture, all 25 episodes from season one are great, but season two has been hitting a little different. And I will say this, if it's one belt that actually will make you think twice about, this does make sense. The Bloodline definitely runs through this belt. So check it out every Tuesday, 8 p.m. And episode 5 is coming this Tuesday. I'm going to ask on the air. Now, he knows he has 5 episodes of Creative Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Are you hijacking this Tuesday? Because we already know what Tuesday episode is. We just need to know because the suspense is killing us.
Subject to change.
No, it's not subject to change. Leave it like it is.
Did you say suspense?
Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm talking about is for season 2 of Championship Culture, the realness has been given 5 episodes for Creative Freedom. Mainly because if you watch season 1, he likes to hijack the comments. 2, he likes to give us notes on the show. And 3, he's become like that the sixth man of Championship Culture. It's actually pretty funny because when E-Rock was on there, I said, where's the realness? He's not here.
I was waiting for him. I was waiting for it. Hollywood popped in.
Yeah, I was going to say, but Hollywood definitely said, hold on. He hit the live button in a heartbeat, and then, you know, he had to introduce him. And so Hollywood popped in, dropped some dollars.
I'm not going to lie. I popped when Hollywood popped in. I was like, Hollywood.
But did you check out the intro that he had to come in? He had to say, hey, everybody.
Hey, y'all.
I just want to jump in and let you know. Right quick. Let you know. Look at my sexy self. Now I'm about to bring
lips a little bit.
Brad H. Waters in here, okay? I was like, really?
And the best part about it is everybody thought it was me. And I was like, oh, no, it's not me.
Not yet. So every Tuesday, 8 p.m., I will tell you, this next episode, Dwayne will enjoy it. And I feel like we're going to have the most notes for next episode. But let's see what his notes are for this week. I'm just wondering, does he have any?
I don't know.
Oh, he has
one. I mean, because I was there, I pretty much said everything I wanted to say. Psych! You know, god dang well, I've got notes.
Ladies and gentlemen, before he begins, let's just go right and say
it. Is it disrupting the audio?
He hates the purple strap I see. He hates the purple strap I see. That's all I'm going to say. Thanks for you, Dwayne.
No, I do. I hate the purple strap. I see the little one. I remember where yesterday on Championship Culture, the episode, when it pretty much went into the Bloodline and their lineage connected to the Intercontinental Championship. Now, the problem with this show was, everybody knows, if you know me, the Intercontinental Championship is by far my favorite championship of all time. So I was extremely invested in the show and extremely excited to see what you guys are talking about. Brian Nish brought a lot of excellent points. My brother E-Rock came in there once again, dropping some hot fire, dropping some gems. A wonderful surprise that I got a chance to enjoy. But yes, we got to get into tonight's show. It's a long show, but I've got notes about Championship Culture. When I can't be on a show, I take my own notes. One, let me see. Hold on. I got sticky pads. I got sticky notes right here. Hold on. One of the questions that they asked yesterday was, what was the question? Who is the IC title the most important mid-card title of all time?
Marcus from Four Sides of the Ring asked that.
Yes. Yep. And E-Rock and Brother Brandon addressed it. If you want to see what they had to say, go to youtube.com/TheWrestlingRum. Championship Culture Playlist episode 4, right? And
correct.
And my 2 cents on that is, yes, it is. It is the most important mid-card title since the NWA United States Championship. You like how I dropped that right there, Brother Brandon?
I'm picking up what you're putting there.
Previously to that, I think the most important before the lineage of the Intercontinental Championship became what it was. It was the NWA United States Championship, and I feel like the IC title eventually would overtake that as the most important mid-card. That's one. They asked another question: was who was the worst? Brother Brandon asked E-Rock, who was the worst person to hold the Intercontinental Championship? I said the Godfather. By the time he had it, I was so disappointed with what they were doing. They were just passing it around at this point. And it was it's like you were carrying both the European title and the Intercontinental Championship at the same time. And eventually he ended up getting rid of the belt. They merged it and he had to bring it back. You know, during the I guess you would say early to mid 2000s, during that.
That was the ruthless aggression with Triple H and
Pretty much. Yeah, it was the ruthless aggression era. And I was like, they had to bring it back. Cause I was like, what are y'all doing with this thing, which y'all disappointed about? Now, the best title reign. And I'm gonna go through this fast. The best title reigns. I cheated, first of all, because you got one answer and I answered like four things. I said one was The Miz, two, Gunta, three, RVD. And I also said that the Ruthless Aggression era was the best era for the Intercontinental Championship. For me personally, that's when I enjoyed it the most. Specifically, I loved
it. My answer for the best title reign.
Who did you say? Don't tell me. You said who did you say?
Mm-hmm. You didn't pick up. I hit him with a delay type answer that would get you thinking.
I forgot what you said. It was a lot going on at that show.
Yes,
but I'm not done yet. You also asked the question, who's your top 10 IC champions? Of course, I cheated once again. It's because one, I have three honorable mentions, and I have 10 names that end up turning into like 14 or 15 names.
And that's what I said. We should have broken about the strap because it was so we should have said for the black strap, the oval, and then the new, we should have broken down into eras, but let's say your 37 top Intercontinental champions.
My top 10 Intercontinental champions of all time. Dolph Ziggler / Wade Barrett. This is no particular order, and I'm cheating also. I'm not on the show. The last one was supposed to be your all-time favorite. That's I don't have enough time to think about that. Two, Gunta, Bret the Hitman Hart, Shawn Michaels / Chris Jericho, Shelton Benjamin / Carlito, Randy Orton, RVD / Edge, Christian, The Miz / Cody Rhodes, Kofi Kingston, and my honorable mentions were Shinsuke Nakamura and Umaga. Those are my top 10 IC champions. Yes, I cheated, Umaga. But it doesn't matter. Yeah. Umaga.
He said in no particular order, though.
No particular order, because I couldn't come down to one. I found out what my favorite was when I looked at the list, and it was... I believe it was Christian, but I think in reality, it really is Kofi Kingston. It's because, like, if you look at my old iPod, I have a bunch of Kofi Kingston matches for the IC title. Literally, it's just like him and Christian, they're like random matches. I used to keep them on my iPod video, literally. And I used to watch those matches like on the road when I was hooping on the bus and, you know, in college back. Matter of fact, it's right here. Look at this. You guys remember this? Look at this thing.
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. It's a relic. It's on here, though. So, yeah. That's my two cents for champions.
Don't even know what that is.
No, they're like, what is that? So that's my two cents for champions.
Like, what's wrong with your iPhones?
Yeah, exactly. That was my list for championship culture. If you want to see that show, once again, go back to youtube.com/ The Wrestling Realm Championship Culture Plays. And trust me, it's the bloodline. You guys got to go back and see who Brother Brandon believes should have access to this lineage next. How does the lineage continue in today's product? So Championship Culture season 2 is underway. Episode 4, youtube.com/ The Wrestling Realm Championship Culture Playlist. Let's get it.
Because every belt has a story.
You guys are supposed to say that to us like it's an echo.
No, I thought you were. I was like, no, you have your moment. Because
Brian is just saying,
between you,
Brian is like, because everybody has a story. Then I'm like, because everybody has a story. And you're supposed to go, because everybody has a story. And you're supposed to go, because everybody has a story. And that's just how it's supposed to be. It was like an echo.
We worked on this, guys.
Man. Right. You guys did pitches and nothing we did in rehearsal. But we have to get
this show started. Before dark. Rome doing the light wasn't good as Rome as a dark. We do better with Rome after dark. We got you. Because you know why?
Why is that?
As a story.
No, so you missed the moment. You missed the moment. You don't get it back. It's just a moment. But you know what was just a moment? What the heck happened at WrestleMania 40's freaking... what is it? Was this... Brian, come on. Give me the technical jargon. What is this considered? Is this a presser? This is a kickoff. Okay.
Yeah, kickoff
presser in Las Vegas. And like I said, on this day of love, we're supposed to celebrate love, peace, tranquility, and romance. But that it was a kickoff, all right. And not only did somebody get kicked off, somebody got slapped in a goddamn face. Brian H, we're going to jump right into it. Let's ring the bell.
I've been waiting for this.
Oh boy.
Now, usually this is the part of the show where we do this right here. We ask each other, what did you watch? But let me just save you all some time. I watched a bunch of Intercontinental Championships fooling around with championships. Like, let's just save ourselves some time. Because I want to make sure we have plenty of time to talk about this and we're not on here forever. Because last week we sat there and we stayed up late for no goddamn reason, only for The Rock to show up at this kickoff event, slap Cody Rhodes, turn heel fully, join the blood. I'm like, this is, we're not doing this again. Brother Brandon's about to die. Said, man, we might need to burn a minute old. And Brandon's like, no, please, for the love of God, not again. And it's like, let's just jump right into this. Gentlemen, you know how we do. We're the smart ones. We like to approach everything with a level of intellect where we like to dig a little deeper, right? We like to ask the important questions and help everybody look at things from a different perspective.
Yes, sir.
And one thing that I mentioned to you all, I kept saying, this isn't the WWE that we grew up on, because usually when Vince McMahon was running WrestleMania, it was an event. It was a spectacle. He was the ringmaster, and it was very clear. It was concise. You knew what it was, and all you had to do was sit back and look forward to the show. I don't know what show we're going to see, because it seems like they're still adding wrinkles to this goddamn story on this road to WrestleMania. Once we find out who wins the Royal Rumble, everything is pretty much clear and concise. As we travel down this particular road, gentlemen, we're not getting that this year. We all saw the Super Bowl commercial, right?
Yeah.
They showed a freaking WrestleMania 40 trailer like it was a movie. And I'm like, wait.
I waited at the computer though. Like,
bro,
like waited as if it was like about the, like you said, a movie was about to drop.
Why were they in space? I said, oh, okay, wait a minute. This is different. And and then all of a sudden we see The Rock and Roman Reigns facing off with Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins. Wait, this was not advertised for WrestleMania. What are you telling us? We don't know who Seth Rollins is supposed to be wrestling for the World Heavyweight Championship. All we know is Rock made it very clear that he was coming to face off against Roman Reigns. We had that promo, and for a week straight, we want Cody. We had hashtag we want Cody. And we were in an uproar. We were looking at it. We sat there on this show with our intelligent brains, and we dissected left and right, trying to figure out what the heck was going on. And guess what? Nothing made sense when it was all said and done. Okay. Yeah. And then what day was that? Was that a Thursday? What day was it that?
Was Thursday night.
Thursday night comes along, and I remember you said, I'm looking forward to this, man, because we all knew something. We knew that we were missing pieces to this puzzle, and we knew that those pieces were going to be revealed on this Thursday. Boy, did we get something that we were not expecting. Now, The Rock had been making his rounds, and he had been doing some interviews that sounded like he was a little irritated. It's because he felt like the fans should just go along with the ride that The Rock was supposed to be taking us on, right?
Should be.
And yet, yet it seemed like it was a bit of a backlash. Now, anytime The Rock gets booed, first of all, that doesn't happen. The Rock hasn't been booed in almost 20 years. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 2003.
That's 21 years. Something seemed off. And all of a sudden, The Rock started getting a little snippy in his interviews. He was on Pat McAfee. He started talking about Cody Crybabies. He started throwing around a whole bunch of bitches. And so I was like, okay, Rock. Rock, you get a little testy. And I was like, what's going on? So then we get to the presser. We're finally here, right? And what do we witness, gentlemen? Of course, there was going to be a face-off with Seth Rollins. One thing that threw me off, I don't know if you guys found it suspicious, but I watched it, and I want you to tell me what you all think, because the people are probably dying to have a conversation about this as well. Seth Rollins came out, and it was never really addressed who exactly was supposed to be challenging for his title. Now, we know Roman came out because he's champion, and we know Seth Rollins came out because he's champion, and yet these champions begin to have an argument with each other. Did you brothers find that suspicious?
That the champions had an argument with each other?
Yes. This is not what they were coming to do. They didn't say anything about unifying the titles, Brian H. Would Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns be going at it like cats and dogs? And we're supposed to be finding out who's going to be in the main event. This is the kickoff event, correct?
Yeah, but little bro still, pick me.
That's Brian's. Seth
had to come out there to keep face that he is... He's a champion. He's a world champion, quote unquote. And it was never solidified because he pleaded his case. He wanted to be in the limelight, and he wanted to make sure that you understood this is not the consolation prize, but this is still a title.
Right.
But respect still put in the back of your mind that Triple H does, that they still have their history. Regardless of what happens at the end of the day, we can still say that Roman has never beat Seth. So they wanted to make sure that he's going to keep things going, but he wants to keep it going in the background, because I think everything that Triple H has done has been for storyline purpose, that I can always come back and instantly bring you back to that moment and call it a day. Because remember, this Monday tied into that, and we didn't even realize it because Seth promo tied it all together while he was the one out on backstage. I mean, he was the one that's still on stage. You know what I mean? Like, he was basically saying, like, no, y'all ain't going to forget me in this conversation. I got no opponent in the background, but you ain't going to forget me either.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Brother Hugh? How do you feel about Seth Rollins, to what Brother Brandon's credit, what he's saying? How about him coming up and kind of standing up for that workhorse title, say, oh, hold on now. Yeah, this isn't all about you, buddy, and standing his ground in the World Heavyweight Championship.
I mean, he has a point. That is the workhorse title. He defends it all the time. And when does Roman show up?
Whenever he feels like it.
Right, so he has a point there.
Brian Age's loyalty to the bloodline is not becoming. Just saying.
He has a point there. So, but like, that was a perfect setup for what was about to happen anyway, because, you know, you got both champions come out. They were already cutting up on each other, but for the last couple of weeks or whatnot anyway. Then I was expecting Cody to come out right after Roman and be like, look, this is what I'm going to choose, whatever, whatever. And then The Rock intervene, you know, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. But of course, it didn't happen that way.
But it didn't happen
he definitely had to put some respect. Look, he had to let everybody know, look, put some respect on my name and my title. I'm the man still. Don't overlook me. That was it, straight up. Yeah, but what?
No, that's true. But what I'm saying also, when I say he was playing pick me, because at the time, going in, he was still vying for Cody Rhodes to pick him.
I don't think he was vying for Cody. Remember, the whole story was, now that I don't have an opponent, you need me.
He wanted the big match.
You get what I'm saying? He wants to make sure that he's still, because let's call it what it is. Cody already pointed at Roman. But then the doubt came when Cody said, oh, not this year. So then Seth was like, you really want to do that? But then Roman was like, go be the head number two guy and don't lose to the number one. So Seth was like, hold on, you ain't going to be disrespecting me like that. But they still have their, I don't want to say that spat, what is it called when it's like, you know, at any time they can just heat that back up. Well, let's keep them separate. What is it called? Like, I don't want to say sibling rivalry, but no, you forgot. I'm still that guy in this sense. So it was kind of neat to see that they kept that going. That's the perspective I was looking at. Like, okay. Because if Seth wasn't there, what would have happened? Well, you automatically would have knew that it's going to Roman.
I think it definitely had every right to be there, but I think there's a deeper story.
Let's talk about it, Brian. What is that deeper story? It's because, and I ask you that, it's because what happened following the exchange between Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, you notice something was starting to take a turn. The Rock shows up. Mm-hmm. And it gives us a bit of a history lesson about his family. And for the first time, we have seen them literally illustrate the magnitude of the Samoan wrestling dynasty, literally to the point of where the blood oath took place. We've never gotten those details before, but go ahead and talk about this deeper story that you speak of when it comes to this particular situation.
Well, you brought up a good point, a deeper the blood oath, because there was a time, for people who do not know, there was a time where they didn't want Roman and the Usos to team up. Like, when seen them go against each other, like Roman and Seth go against the Usos, they didn't even want to acknowledge the fact. So, you know, we've definitely come a long way.
They but stopped calling them Rikishi's sons, remember?
Yeah.
And they were the Usos. Because remember, at first they were the sons of Rikishi. And it was like, nope, that's because you knew that Roman was Rikishi's cousin. It was like, all right, shut up. Don't say nothing about it. Don't even acknowledge it. Was that the blue eye Roman time frame when they made him wear the blue? Context, that was the worst time.
No, that Roman, even though he wore the white Intercontinental title, don't exist.
That's right, it doesn't exist.
I know we got Drew. I know we got
it existed last night on Championship Culture.
And I know we got all these other people.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, Seth Rollins now, he done got mixed up in this. And now the deeper story, because the fact is, he is a main eventer, no matter which way you look at it. Deserves to be on the marquee of WrestleMania. Now I'm interested. I'm like, I don't necessarily, I sure don't want another triple threat, because that makes all the tens predictable. Three mm-hmm. people involved.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Give me Seth and Rock.
That's what I kind of want now.
Oh,
after crap. That, I want Seth and Rock. Like,
oh, shoot.
After that pay-per-view.
Looking
after that exchange.
Because again, right? If him, now you got to remember, him and Cody, that's not his man's. Yeah, we did a whole story of Dusty's kids, right? But they were fighting mm-hmm. over being Dusty's kids. It wasn't a Dustin versus Cody bloodbath that we saw, and then afterwards the reconciliation, right? So he was there, but he was going to stand up for what's right. But also now he could have left it alone, could have said, all right, you know what? You done made your choice. I'm going to go figure out who my opponent will be. But him standing right there when Rock slapped Cody and then Seth getting involved. And now, see, you can't just let Seth get away with doing all that jibber jabberish. Mm-hmm. He got to get handled. You know?
Oh,
he
got to
get handled.
Yeah.
Him and the Rock will probably have a battle over the mic. And that'll lead to them night one. I think that's why he said, I could be his shield for him. He's going to help neutralize the bloodline, but he's not going to do it by himself. There's so much of a story that's about to unravel because he asked him, what are you going to do different? What's your plan? And he said, you need somebody that's an architect. He basically, the thing I love about Triple H, he keep acknowledging the past and making it part of the story.
If
you were a wrestling fan and just joined now, you're like, why is Triple H promo so good? I understand that because I watched wrestling back in the day when he was like, I don't care what you said, you know, and then he said about the know your role or something. Remember, he made all those references. I was like,
yeah, he shot empty bullets. He shot blanks.
No, see, but the thing. Oh, go ahead, Dory.
Now, see, when you say this, it's we're jumping the gun, but I like where the conversation is going. It's because, Brandon, you talked about when Seth Rollins kind of stepped up because it was the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. It takes me back to maybe a year ago. Well, it makes me wonder, was this all in Triple H's master plan somewhere? And you say, well, Riddles, what are you talking about? I say, okay, well, think about it. We were supposed to get Rock Triple H at WrestleMania. They revealed that Triple H health problems, he had to retire, right? That's one.
It's a match we never got.
It's a match we never got. And guess what? They were building to it 2 and 3 years at a time, like, you know, all the way up until the point where even up to Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle versus Triple H and Stan McMahon, like it was in the works because Triple H, you know, the Rock had kind of introduced, you know, Ronda Rousey to the mix the year before, right? And then you say yourself, okay, well, I'm thinking about something else. What about last year when Cody made the comments like, well, we don't really need the Rock, and then he doubled back and said, oh no, I didn't mean it that way. I apologize. I didn't mean it that way. Like, the Rock would be a great addition to WrestleMania because remember we assumed like, well, maybe the Rock will go into the Hall of Fame in Hollywood. Hollywood is the Rock's playground. Maybe he'll have a match and so. And people were like, and Cody made the comment. And then Seth Rollins kind of made comments about it. Like, look, man, we don't need people that's constantly coming back. This is what we're here for.
We don't need those returning people. We got enough. He said we got enough superstars that are maintaining the product. Something like that. He said we don't need the part-timers coming in and out.
Sure. That was last year. Here we are this year. And now we got a situation where the WrestleMania main events have been disrupted for multiple reasons, right? Mm-hmm. One, CM Punk got hurt. We know that was the direction that we were originally going in. Okay, cool. How do you pivot? All of a sudden, The Rock has kind of made it clear that he wants to challenge Roman for the head of the table. We got a different spin on this particular story because it seems as if before this went down, it was a peaceful exchange, right?
Yeah.
It was a family feud. So The Rock comes out at the presser and he gave us this very beautiful illustration of his family and how it got to be. Shout out to Lance. I don't know why. There was a lot of people that we knew that was on that family tree, which we thought was very interesting. A lot of current and active superstars that were on there. And we saw where stuff. We always talked about the high chief, but I didn't realize that at the top of it all, Afa's father, They were like, no, Roman's grandfather and my grandfather, we had the blood off. And I was like, oh, that's why Roman's such the chosen one. It's because he's the direct lineage to the original blood oath, right? So think about it. On one side, you had The Rock as the grandchild of the high chief. And then you had Roman, who is the grandchild of, and I'm like, those are the guys that were like literally direct lineage from. I was like, oh, wait a minute.
You may remember it, 10 years ago, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, you and I did the research. We did a
deep dive. Show on it.
Yeah. When we gave, giving a Yokozuna show.
And, the tribute show, right?
Props, yeah. The Yokozuna tribute show gave props to Rikishi. We did a deep dive, but it was so complicated. So we didn't want to just splurt out information.
Right.
Because, but we didn't know it was bound by the way the blood oath was in the direct lineage. You know, and mind you, when we did this show, Roman was still Leak in FCW.
He was. He definitely was still Leak. Yeah, he was just coming onto the scene. So we see this, and now we're trying to figure it out. And now, Brother Hugh, we see a different twist to this matchup between The Rock and Roman, right? It turned into something that may look like a feud. Like, hey, maybe little cuz is out of hand. Big cuz has to straighten him out for the sake of honor and our family. To in turn, we saw this instead. We saw The Rock and Roman decide amongst themselves that it was more based about competition directly under the family tree in an honorable way, not necessarily a feud. Right?
Right, right.
And we saw this change, Brother Hugh, where Cody and both Seth had this attitude like, this is once again the bloodline.
Uh-oh. Y'all missed the man's name too much time on this show. Let me ask you this about this picture. Hugh said it a while back, what if The Rock aligns with Roman? But is he really aligned with him, or did he take over? Because he's standing up, because he is like, and what I'm saying is, we know that they're both direct lineage from both halves of the bloodline, but The Rock is the High Chief's grandson. Does he feel like he got to step up to be like, no, what you're not going to do? And Roman kind of is like, just stay back here, I got this.
Well, if you look at it, you gotta look at what happened at the presser. The Rock did take control of the situation, and Roman kind of plays second fiddle at that point in time. So, I mean, that could be played into the storyline later on. I said something crazy, but when it first happened, something along the lines of The Rock and Roman, of course, they align right now, but later on, what if Roman gets jealous that The Rock is still in the spotlight?
That's exactly.
That's what starts the feud between them two.
It's crazy because it was a reason, and I'm no Triple H does everything for a reason. When that went on the screen and they left it up, they knew the picture was going to come out. They knew people were going to dissect it. They knew people was going to start saying, "Well, who's this person? Oh, they're here." You know, and now Zillow's back with Reality and Wrestling. Jacob Fatu is a free agent, right, Brian? Tama Tonga is now a free agent.
He's in a different tribe.
No, what I'm saying, but all these speculations that people are starting to make all over again because now they have it up there on the screen that, oh, who's all these people? Oh, I can do some research. So it helps the Samoan Dynasty. Well, I'm sorry, the Bloodline. It helps them 100% because now all eyes are on them from this one screen. And this one tree that they said, no, I acknowledge the fact we're not going to play stupid like these people aren't out here and they don't exist. And you notice it said Trinity was one there too. And Ava. Yep. Do you say Ava or Ava? Ava. I was impressed that it said everybody on the outside. Oh, we really went there. And the fact that I didn't even look on the internet, I said, let me just wait to Twitter. Somebody going to post it. And what happened? Boom. Here's a clear picture of it.
But the thing is like when you look back at it, right? And this is so fun. Like, instead of trying to, I'm looking at it from a perspective sort of kayfabe, but also what they're giving me. I'm looking at, I see a situation where, yeah, it looked like Lil Bro was getting out of line, Lil Cuz was getting out of line. Now, Roman looks like Lil Bro to The Rock, but the question is, yeah, is Roman going to come back and say, well, I'm the champ, you handle that, you handle my light work, or is he falling in line? That's one question. We got a lot of questions could be answered. Maybe. I don't think we're going to get them all answered.
I think they're going to add more questions to us.
Yeah, but
I think we're going to get more questions.
Yeah, but the thing is, yeah, it's also a thing where, all right, no matter what's, because like it started off like, you know, the sizing up of everything. And it was like, you know, kind of like when Kane and Undertaker first, like, you know, Undertaker looked at him like, wait, you're here in the flesh. It was kind of like that look, like, I don't believe you're right here. And they slowly came together. And it looked like we was going to get a beef. But then the moment somebody else gets involved, the moment somebody else talks about the family, all of that goes aside. And now we got to walk together as one. You watch the way, you know, we got to walk together as one so that we can take out this guy. That's the reason why I'm on team. Yeah. Put Rock versus Seth. Put him over there. If y'all want Cody to finish the story, fine. Okay, well, give me Rock as champion.
But let me ask you this question. What, first, we're going to get more questions on SmackDown, because you know what I think they're going to do? They're going to have two separate locker rooms. And we're going to see Paul Heyman pulling double, triple duty, trying to keep both of them in line to say, well, The Rock said this, but my tribal chief said this. The Rock, I think they're going to start showing a power struggle. But also, wouldn't it be crazy if The Rock had the World Heavyweight Championship and Roman had nothing?
Mm-hmm. That's the thing.
And they, you know, flipped the belts, and now the Undisputed goes to Raw, and the, what you call it, goes to SmackDown. Because
guess what? And to address Dennis King's point, I understand where you're coming from. But guess what? We don't. If we want to be honest, something people may not want to hear what I'm about to say. We don't need two full-time world champions.
No. We don't if we have a secondary champion to fill in the blanks.
But that's or the tag you champs. You do. There's never been a time where we've had four full-time world champions, right?
No. We've always had two secondary ones.
No, but like, follow me. We right now, since this variation, we don't have four. Huh? That's your iPhone, or your iCamera. Look at it. Like Logan Paul, part-time champion, but nobody complains about him. It sucks that, okay, maybe it sucks that they on the same show, right? But you got the workhorse champion in Gunther and then Seth Rollins. But being honest, what's good of a workhorse champion if you already know the results anyway? I'm just saying.
But no, and that's why I agree with you.
So if you do flip it, one, the credibility of the world title goes through the roof, right? And now, because now Roman got to eat crow. Wait, I done said this was the second place title. I done beat everybody. But and now he got on. It. He now you got to acknowledge him, because guess what? He has goals. So what does that mean? He sits at the head of the table. He's the reason the family eating. You know, because like I said in the story, given what they give me, Roman picked up and fed the family. Rock never said this is yours. He just went off to Hollywood, so he fed the family from afar. And Roman,
he brought him to Hollywood with him.
Yeah, but Roman, and that's the point. Roman being ungrateful, saying, "Oh, I'm the head of the table. I make sure we eat."
Yep.
So, and that's where it looked like we was getting ready to get into. And strategically, like you said, strategically, it says High Chief under the name The Rock. It says High Chief. It don't say head of the table for Roman.
Mm-mm. I was going to say, when was somebody going to bring that up?
But the ancestors sent Solo.
Which I believe we would Rock think, Mama.
See, that's the point, right? Because we would think automatically it's on that side of the tree. Uh-huh. You know what I mean? That's what we would think, but maybe it's not. Maybe it is The Rock's mother, but you know, and again, we could take it to Young Rock. Every time the grandmother, every time something happened, what she do? Thank you, High Chief.
Chief, oh, tonight, Chief. Everybody looked up.
Yeah.
Here's the other question for you. So I'm okay with a part-time champion, no matter what show, because you have tag champs and you have the women's tag champs too. Triple H does so well with positioning the tag teams that they can be the main event position where they can be the opener. The women's tag, of course, could take some building up, but we've seen moments of greatness, but we haven't seen like, oh, wow. You know what I mean? Like a title change. Of course, I feel like when it's the main event, it's a title change. But your first and your secondary champion are both part-time and both of your tag sets are on Raw. Sometimes think about it. What are you seeing on SmackDown? Just the whole show of people. Yeah. Like, if you think about it, like, you're not bringing your Smack. I'm sorry, we had a North American champion there for, like, a week or two. But you get what I'm saying? Like, if you're going to do that, at least slide the tag chance over. At least slide something. They ain't got to have a title match, but give us something to say at least a champion is here. Because, let's be honest, it's business happening after Mania, which is going to start their new deals for everything. Really, really paying attention to their new deals because they haven't announced Mania. We know that Raw is going to Netflix. We still don't know what day. SmackDown is coming to USA. Is that confirmed for Friday?
Sure. No, it's not confirmed.
No, it's not.
And then you got NXT going to CW, which we don't have a confirmed. They're the ones making the first jump. Mm-hmm. We got a lot of things that's going to happen post-Mania. Because next thing we know, we're gonna be in a whole, we're gonna be in a different WWE, and who knows what else they're gonna do. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if maybe they need The Rock on SmackDown, maybe they need Cody to stay on Raw. And maybe Netflix said they want Cody.
I think we're gonna see more of The Rock than we thought we would. You know, he said he never left, you know, all that other stuff. I think we're gonna see more of him simply now knowing he's on the board, and now that it's essentially a cheat code. Anytime something go wrong, insert Rock.
But let me ask you this question. I don't want to hijack the show.
No, we still within the rundown.
Do you think that, and I'm going to say this as crazy as it can be, do you think it was purposeful that Jay wasn't there or Solo?
Yeah, well, yeah, and also because that's a good point. Yeah, I think it was on purpose. You know, I think it was because remember, he was going to choose The Rock. So essentially, it seemed like Trial by Combat rules what that was supposed to be.
But you guys have Solo or what you call it would have been there. The slap would have happened. Solo would have jumped in and been ready to fight. But who would have told him to fight? You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Would have been The Rock giving order or. Roman,
I mean, well, but you know, it was in Vegas, so Solo could have been at the slots. He could have got lost on his way. You know, I mean, you
what about been to what Vegas Jimmy? Everywhere you walk is something.
We talking about Jimmy here now. You know,
that's
right, right.
He said he's been sabotaged. Did you see the way he's in the
comments?
He said he's been sabotaged.
He's gonna be on his phone soon. Logging in.
He's gonna be looking for.
I mean, that's a good point. Where was Jay? Where was Jimmy? Where was everybody? You know, and again, like you said, little tidbits. Cody mentioned Jay's name.
Yeah, he did.
You know, and I'm like, shouldn't have done that. And I thought that slap was beautiful. First of all, I mean, he said, you know, you talk about our family, and then you know the whole workers with Triple H.
Wait a minute, let's talk about that because did it not have? And you gonna laugh when I say this. You ever heard somebody that can dish it out but can't take it?
All the time.
You sitting there talking about this man's father, and then as soon as he say something about your family, now you on your man. No, and Cody sat there and said, "I'm gonna eat that," but okay. I'm going to get my lick back. Don't you worry.
Oh, he's going to hit you back.
He's going to get his lick back.
Let me hit you back.
I'm going to get him back. But, oh, now you got mad. You talked about this man's father, but he said, you know.
He just said he wasn't relevant.
Well, Roman said that. Yeah.
Yeah, Roman said it.
And all he said was, no, I'm saying he said something about, it was said something about Cody's family. So Cody said something about their family. You get what I'm saying? Because technically, we're all dusty kids. Remember that? And you're talking about now he's irrelevant, but you gave this man praise how many months ago?
Not
you just got 11. It. Look, you got in. You can't bottle it. You can't buy it. You just got in. So
okay.
I thought that was a little crazy. I was like, oh, so that's how we're going to spark this off. But did y'all not think when The Rock came out in that tank top with nothing on it that he wasn't full on heel?
Man, it was all – look, you saw it on his face when he walked out. You saw it on his face.
How about the intensity on his face?
Yeah.
Who?
Said what?
The adjustment to the what chance? A pro. Just a pro. Okay. You're going to love it. Yeah. Might not like it. You will respect it. You know, because you see so many people get flustered when they're trying to cut up. I mean, shoot, we saw Strickland do it tonight. If you watched AEW, you know, they get flustered, or, you know, they got to pivot.
They already got their mind what they want to say in the crowd.
As soon as it was happening, I said, oh, The Rock about to, he about to have fun with this one.
Yeah, you know? Definitely.
Because he was waiting for that. Look, he was waiting for that. He said, oh, okay, this is what we're going to do. All right.
Because you know his new thing is the goosebump.
Yeah, the goosebump. You see this? You see this? But let me ask you, and I'm going to say this about this whole thing, and then we can go to the next seven. But when CM Punk was hurt, CM Doll said it, call The Rock, right? And I think The Rock is such a student of the game, just like Triple H. Mm-hmm. I believe that the pivot was going to be made for Rock. But then when he realized the fan backlash, Triple H is like, I saw what happened with Vince with that. We got to fix something. Give him something different. You know what I mean? Like, oh, hold on. We got to shift it a little bit, right? So when it's shifting, I think he's not done shifting. I think he's still going to shift us to what Brian said about the Rock with the world title, or at least dangle it, because the Elimination Chamber could happen. But who's to say? Who's to say that Rock won't surprise him in it? Who's to say somebody else won't win and say Rock is a title shot? We don't know. It's so many things that could be shifted around. And this Friday is going to start, because when is Elimination Chamber? Like in 2 weeks?
Next Saturday.
Next Saturday. So it's so much stuff, because they still don't qualify matches. They still haven't. And it's like, okay, but what are you? Mm-hmm. You're not done yet. Because you keep giving us clues, you keep giving us little things. Mm-hmm. And I just can't shake the fact that he's going to shake it up so much more.
I mean, that's true.
Chamber is very overwhelming so far.
I like to be, you know, worked, but I kind of believe it was I believe that, you know, this was the way it happened, was set to happen this way, only because I don't think Cody really takes a I don't think he essentially he lessened the world title, if we being honest. We could say Roman and Rock did, or Roman did, you know, by calling the second place. Cody did too, by saying that's not his story. That's don't have the lineage and all that. So
that when they took that world championship, because remember when it was first announced, it was supposed to continue the lineage, and they said, no, this is gonna be a brand new title. They cheapened it themselves. They made it a universal title again.
Exactly. How about that? So I think with that, I think that's why I don't know if it was, I do think like everything is set by design. I feel like, because like I said last week, The Rock comes, it's always been the same song. Yeah, I like hearing it, but it's been the same song. Rock comes back, you smell what The Rock is cooking, crowd goes, wow, we happy, yada yada yada.
It doesn't matter. Boots
right, yeah. But this time
same corny spill,
going there. And I think it was like, you know what, Cody, we saw what we did before. We can actually make you into a bigger star. We can really show how much, because last year around this time, Cody was in danger. If y'all remember, you know,
what's
that thing? Who's that person y'all like? I don't know if y'all still like him no more. Sami Zayn. Yeah. You know, but this year, and ever since he's won, you know, ever since he probably even before he won the Royal Rumble, it's like, okay, we want, ever since that moment on SmackDown, right? When Jay had first turned heel, I mean, babyface. Ever since then, it's like, oh, yeah, we know where we're going for WrestleMania. Let's get there. And I think that's kind of been the way it's set up. I saw early in the chat about Cody. Well, I think it was a brother Raj. Cody losing again, which would be beautiful.
Yes.
And I think that would be fun. I don't think it's gonna happen. But I do think going into next year, I mean, going into Australia next week, what's his name? Already said they're gonna have a sit down conversation. Grayson Waller. He's gonna have Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins on a Grayson Waller effect. That's as big of a main event or semi-main event. That's a main event segment right there because of the fact that he's from Australia. This is a show, you know, he's not in a big enough storyline to put him in a match, but you had a Grayson Waller effect show. That's money right there, especially all those people. And he's going to be in the ring with two of the biggest stars. You know, clearly the show's built around Rhea. So I'm interested to see what happens and where we go from there. But I do think we got more than one Rock match on this go round.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. I'm thinking so at least at least a good three of them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if for WrestleMania he'll be ready, ring ready to have a singles match. So that's why I'm leaning more towards a tag match with him and Roman versus Cody and Seth for night one. But you mentioned something about Sami Zayn. Does Sami get involved in this whole bloodline thing?
He's starting to heat up again.
Because as of right now, he doesn't really have a road to WrestleMania since he lost the Chamber. His Chamber qualifying match. So I mean,
and Drew, man, don't be on the wrong side of Drew McIntyre's prayers.
Absolutely.
Because he looks world champion ready. Gunther, who I hope loses the Intercontinental title Monday night,
yes,
he could be world title ready. But
I'm more excited for that match than any other.
Absolutely.
I'm more excited about that. I'm not going to say that. I'm more excited about that match than the AEW world title match.
Facts. But you can also set up something with Gunther can lose that title and won't be touched. You know what I mean? Like, kind of like when John Cena lost the United States title en route to the WWE Championship. You know,
it was like he never lost any momentum. Right. But look what he lost. It was like he cheated. They cheated. He won. And it was like, but we know, okay, he's going to Mania. You know, it was like, yep, we okay now. And it's crazy because the problem I'm having with Drew, he's in that space that he's the safe guy. He's still there, but what are we doing for? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And every time Drew hasn't got bad and he hasn't got worse, it's always been like, it's Drew McIntyre. And we as fans still like, man, he deserves it in front of people. You know what I mean? Like, we just keep holding on to that hope that he deserves it for the people, but it's like, okay, will he get the people or won't he get the people?
Like he told me last year, he had to kick all the bloodline. He got to go knock on their doors. That's how you take the title from him. But I do think that, you also look at the night after WrestleMania, right? Last year's was so bad. I don't know if y'all remember.
Oh,
okay.
We probably erased it.
Yeah.
Because nothing that was supposed to happen happened that night. All the stuff that was advertised act like it didn't exist. And it was like, what is this?
Yeah, Trish. It looked like it was throwing But we could get those other contenders, you know, in a match the night after. I mean, so many directions.
Oh, for the world title? What you mean, for the world title?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so like a Drew, a Sammy, all fighting the night after Mania.
Yeah, if y'all want to book Cody and Seth against Rock and Roman night one.
I'm confused.
Remember, Hugh said night one, Cody and Seth.
What's that? Mm-hmm.
Versus Rock and Roman for night one of WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. And I said, if you do that now, you know, because then you got these number one contenders for the world title or Lumen. You know what I mean? I don't know. I'm throwing stuff at the wall right now.
Well, to Brother Hugh's point, I guess my question is, immediately when I saw Roman Reigns in kind of the Rock in the mix and Seth Rollins kind of mixing, I start to wonder, like, was he really healthy enough to have a one-on-one match to deliver at WrestleMania?
Oh, Seth?
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm like, Seth.
Okay.
You know, like, let's not forget, he did have a knee injury, right? We had a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't know. I feel like they're doing this on purpose.
Radio Row, too.
I was about to say, hold on.
In that all on Radio Row that he's not 100%.
Is that true, though? I don't want to, you know what I mean, throw it out there. Like, but is that really true, or are we being worked again? Because Seth looks like he's moving pretty good. Hey.
But you remember at first he wasn't dancing at first. He was just walking out there, and then now he started getting a little bit of movement back in those knees. And yeah. I'm like, well, he's probably been rehabbing for about 3 weeks, and he has about at least seven more.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Before the actual event. So I'm like, I don't know. But still, we're talking about a full-blown wrestling match. And I don't know if I don't know if I trust any. I don't know. I can't keep up. Triple H is doing this on purpose.
Yeah, he is.
He is he's caused this to spin around, but you guys make some excellent points. First of all, let me say this right now. I was sabotaged in the middle of my point that I was making. And we used to blame these things on Vince McMahon, but I'm starting to say maybe the bloodline's got some issues with the realness.
Hey, yeah, man,
my family isn't as deep as theirs. So you guys, sorry fellas, y'all gotta fight for me. Y'all gotta get in trenches.
No, see, I can't take them on by myself. They love us. So it ain't the bloodline.
I thought so too until my internet went out when I was talking about the bloodline and their suspicious activity.
You forgot you mentioned Vince's name early in the show.
He doesn't count anymore. He has charges.
Right.
He can't touch us.
Yes.
Oh no, man. He's still crazy. We talking about Vince McMahon. He ain't normal.
That is true though. You guys are talking about the slap, and I wanted to revisit just that whole scene. And I was going to do so before my before the internet started acting funky, you know what I mean? And I wanted to do it like this to bring a little humor to the segment. But since you guys already talked about it, I'm just going to play it anyway. What I was going to say was, let's take a look at the conversation that took place with The Rock as he decided to slap Cody Rhodes and how that all went down.
What is the five fingers say to the face?
What?
Slap!
That was supposed to be my original segue into the joke. I was pissed, but it's okay. I lost the moment.
Nah, that worked.
No, where are we now?
Why was The Rock's fingers so muscular, though? Like, did you pull up that picture, man?
No, let's just. First of all, The Rock is in his 50s. Did you take it down? Is it there? No, it's there.
Oh, there it is. My bad.
All right, go ahead.
You got it. All right,
there it is.
look at the muscles in his fingers, bro.
You like looking at muscles?
He damn near broke his neck. Look at that.
Look at his face though, as he slaps Cody Rhodes. Cody, he took it like a champ. Here's my question to you guys. Let's look at this photo for a minute, and this is something that I don't think I've ever seen. Now, you guys, let me know if you've seen this before or you've seen anything similar to this. Mm-hmm. We're looking on stage. First of all, it has the setup as a large heavyweight fight. We've seen that before, right?
Yes.
But we're looking at Triple H in the middle, who pretty much runs the show, and we have both of the general managers of each show, like in full support and full tilt, both former professional wrestlers, you know? And I don't think we've ever seen a situation where we've seen the authority figures have to like, yo, we might have to find a way to reel this back in because we've got to get some sort of a semblance before this gets out of hand.
Right.
Have you guys seen anything like this before in professional wrestling? We've seen a lot.
There's 746 titles between all the people on stage.
That's a very belt guy thing to say.
That is true.
If that isn't true. Championship culture, that ain't like, where did that number even come from? Because it's like, it's got to be pretty accurate. I'm like, you know what? Give or take.
Google.
I'm sure that's actually true. But have you all seen something like this before? Like, I don't think I've. I think you can get close to it, like when in maybe UFC or like big heavyweight boxing matches where you got to bring these kind of authority figures just in case things get out of hand. But let's be real, these press conferences are here to sell your show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Have we seen this in any form of wrestling before? Like AEW kind of spearheaded the press conference era, you know, Tony Khan and Cody Rhodes, but this is different, man. This is taking things to a completely different level. And I'm like, wait a minute. And I'm like, I said, I literally remember texting in the group chat, like, fellas, I don't think I've ever seen this before.
Yeah, I definitely wasn't expecting this. I was expecting, you know, them to come on stage, sit down at the little table, whatever, you know, the usual spill, talk a little smack, whatever. But this was a whole production from beginning to end, a whole production.
So go ahead.
I was gonna say, let's also not bury the lead, too. Las Vegas, Nevada. Super Bowl week.
Super Bowl week.
That is free event. You know, invite. So none of the fans paid to get in there. You know, he was able to walk in.
They definitely packed the house.
Yeah, shout out to Darrell Owens, Drew Willingham's one of his partners in media, who was right there on site. You might have seen him in the back with CM Punk, you know, representing Bowie Television. So it was a lot of media out there. And let me just give you a little bit of insight. You know, I have a shout out to Brian Curtis, host of the Press Box Pod. Make sure y'all check that out. One of the other pods I produce. He said that, you know, it was a lot of wrestlers out there doing Radio Row at the Super Bowl, to the point you probably would have thought it was a WWE event. And if you look on a lot of the photos, you'll see people like Seth Rollins. You'll see even a lot of AEW wrestlers, you know? So, like, was, like, WWE really, especially, took advantage of Super Bowl weekend like they've never done before, even more so than they did when they had the halftime heat show.
No.
Because,
yeah.
And I was going to say, just to finish this up.
Yeah, you know, I definitely agree.
Yeah, and one of the points I looked at earlier, and I was like, you know, that new world heavyweight title is nice.
Mm-hmm.
But Patrick Mahomes was still rocking Roman's belt.
I mean, that's just the WWE championship.
Because the network.
Be the new WWE championship.
Right? You know, with the side plates, and, you know, but they got for the, you know, the cap off the weekend, the Super Bowl belt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but that press conference was, like you said, it's like everything. You see, this is, remember last year, the night after WrestleMania, or the morning after WrestleMania, the news hit, Endeavor, whatever. And remember, everybody said we wouldn't start seeing the effects right away.
That's true.
Now we're starting to see that. That's an Endeavor deal. You know, you see the TKO group, the merging of the two worlds. Like you said, you see boxing and all that. Now you really see how they've figured out how to make these worlds come together, you know?
Yeah, it's in the mainstream now. Like,
it's
back in popular culture, and it hasn't been that way for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You know, it's one of those things where, like The Rock says, boom, WWE's buzzing right now more than it's ever been in decades. But, you know, it's not so much just, like, it's cool to like wrestling again.
It's cool to carry belts around, championship culture, guy. Like, think about it. Like you said, Brian H., like, the WWE changed that idea of, like, and you can tell it was obviously a smart business move when you see every time a champion wins in some type of league, and now we've even gone to college, they're the ones handing out a championship belt. Now that's almost a part of the culture. Hey, when you win, you're supposed to get a belt. It's because certain wrestling fans were doing it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like there's a guy that plays for Penn State right now with Ace Baldwin. When they won the A-10 championship last year when they were at VCU, he comes out to stands with the World Heavyweight Championship. I'm saying to myself, there's no way in the world he knows. Like, first of all, where did it come from? Which means somebody had it waiting for him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Somebody had it waiting for him in the audience just in case they won. And they had, like, and this is we're talking about a full-blown replica. And I was like, I wonder if he even knows. And then before you know it, Ace is an MVP. And then he has it. And on his life, he's got it over his shoulder. It's because that's becoming a part of the culture now when you win.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Versus a couple of years ago, remember, it was a dude on campus they used to walk around with a championship belt. And they was like, oh, yeah, he's nuts.
I remember seeing that dude.
He's having yellow intercontinental. Roger, you know who it is. Uncle Roger, you know who it is. He used to have a yellow intercontinental championship. He used to walk like this on campus, just bopping. With shades on. You like, yeah, he's too fly. Now, we said that as wrestling fans, but the casual folks were looking like, oh, yeah, he's weird. Dude, walk around a wrestling belt. But WWE has, no pun intended, has changed the culture of something like carrying these bad boys around. This doesn't look so tight. Brother Hugh had his at homecoming, and he was the life of the party. Yep. They lifted him up on shoulders.
It's no, they lifted him
up. They
scooped him up. It's because they're like, oh, shoot, he's the champion. He has, like, that's part of popular culture. Now, you know what I mean?
Remember, Aaron Rodgers was the only one. And Aaron Rodgers was doing it. And mind you, this is 2010, whatever that number was, Super Bowl. And, you know, sure enough, you always saw the world heavyweight title. Every time after that. When he won the Super Bowl, you saw the World Heavyweight title, but it didn't quite take off. But when they started adding these side plates, boom, You know, now and then the Fanatics did. So yep, now, you know,
yeah.
So like when I was in Chicago at the Survivor Series Superstore, I said, all right, y'all got, you know, Cubs and Cardinals and stuff. So what's up? Mm-hmm. Who do I talk to about the Orioles side, please? You know, this year I would almost bet by midway baseball season, they're going to have every team, not just, you know, your major markets. And like you said,
so you're thinking you might be like an MLB deal? I mean, Fanatics is kind of the middleman, well, right?
They do. Oh, yeah, they have it. Yeah. I just think they just didn't roll them out all the.
Okay. For every organization. Okay.
Yeah, nah, and I think, you know, because unfortunately, like if you have a football team, there's no football team that there isn't like a super diehard fan, right?
Sure.
Mainstream, yeah. Like in that city. There's a lot of baseball cities where you can find a pocket of people that's not fans of those teams. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah.
So,
but it's not to city either, because think about it. It's people in Baltimore that like the Steelers. You know what I'm saying? So it's always diehard fans.
People in DC that love the Cowboys.
Yeah, so but it's always going to be.
But the thing is, like you said, that's the difference with football. You can find it's always going to be diehards. That's why you can roll out a whole league with baseball. You kind of got to ease your way into it because the Rays been good for so long and they still don't have more fans than the Orioles. Just because, you know, only time they're going to pack the stadium literally is the playoffs. And I mean, if you ever go there, you'll see why. But
that's right.
Yeah, so that's the thing, you know. But like I said, WWE did a phenomenal job that week taking over. You had Pat McAfee. That's already a direct line, you know, him doing his show.
Mainstream. Yep.
Yeah. And then you know, you got all of this stuff. So it's and then The Rock on top of that. And remind you, there's still people out there who don't know he was a wrestler. You know, it's kind of like young kids not knowing LL Cool J or Will Smith with rappers.
There you go.
It's
like you get a second run now to a new generation.
And people were surprised. I put it on my Instagram at Brian H. Waters. And, you know, shout out to the homie Amber Boss Lady. She was like, yo, wait, there are people who don't know this? And I was like,
I'm just shocked.
Yeah, there's people. I remember having a conversation at work. Explaining to somebody that not only was The Rock a wrestler, that he was one of the greatest wrestlers of all time, but that's how much of an impact he made in Hollywood.
Which is that's a big deal. You look at where The Rock started versus where he is now, and then you know his business portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at what he's done with the XFL and now the UFL. He's him and his manager, his ex-wife, his best friend, Danny Garcia. Mm-hmm. They're at the forefront of it all, and I'm like, man, The Rock's just ridiculous, man. It's just unreal because it's like all these worlds are colliding all at the same time. So right, think about it. Fresh off WrestleMania, the UFL will be starting right up. Spring football should be right there, you know. And you know, as he enters that new era, not to mention his position with TKO Sports. And so on and so forth. I knew once they canceled The Rock show, once Black Adam did bad, I said The Rock's not gonna take this sitting down. He's gonna, and then once again, I said he's gotta become The Rock again. What does he do? He goes and he gets complete rights, you know, to the trademark. So now he doesn't have to partner with WWE or you know, consult with them. He can be The Rock whenever he so chooses. But I didn't expect anything.
He heard
less
you
from
say
him.
That too.
No, I'm sure he did, because most people named Dwayne. That's associated with greatness.
And that's why he's like, you know what? I'm coming back. I'm coming back to wrestling because the real
it never fails. Whenever something goes funky, he can always more turn into The Rock and he becomes the biggest superstar in the world. And let's think about it. What did he become? He's there again. So let's wrap this up because last time we kept Brother Brandon, he was about to die. He wasn't gonna make it.
Hey, hold on.
Brothers,
we got
before you do that, it has 104 titles that was on that stage.
He was sitting there all this time. Uh-huh. Counting,
yes,
that's a championship culture thing.
But I didn't count Paul Heyman how many people he managed because you know that'll be another 100 if you take his.
He was sitting there the entire time counting those championships, like he was putting.
But what's the how many titles on the poster?
Oh, that's too much. I'm not, he's gonna sit there and do it. We're gonna find out at some point. Look at him, look at
now
him.
Now you gotta see how many did the High Chief have.
Lord, I'm gonna just go ahead and say that's
mother sucker.
Because some of them titles you can't even find anymore.
Our good friend.
Yeah.
Dylan. Yeah. AK3 Boys.
Yeah. I saw it too.
A good friend.
He was quiet for a while. He was
What is the five fingers? Say to the face.
What?
Slap.
Have you guys ever seen Batman in 1989? And the part, there's a part where the Joker is in a museum and he's trying to woo the young lady, and Batman comes out and he flies in and he hits one of his gadgets and he soars out of there, and Joker looks at him and he goes, "Where does he get those wonderful toys? That's how I feel about Dylan. Like, how does he sit there and do stuff that fast? Like, he does not waste any time. Where does he get those wonderful
toys? Dwayne, I was with you with that reference. I was with you.
See that? Thank you. It was just ridiculous, man.
We had that moment. Was that our comic reference for the night?
That was the one. I was going to give you one.
You know, we always got to have one.
Let's wrap this up. Let's move the conversation forward, because as of this record, we still got Friday Night SmackDown. It has been announced that The Rock will address Triple H, as Brian H. had said before. Triple H shooting empty bullets. He took a lot of shots at The Rock on SmackDown because he wanted to let him know who was in charge. Now you say, where did that come from, Realness? Okay, I'm glad you asked. Not only do we have a press conference where a man got slapped in the face. We just saw the video from Dylan. Triple H is he looks so shambled backstage, and they asked him, like, Triple H, what happened? He's like, you know what? Egos happen, and then all of a sudden The Rock comes back, Roman Reigns comes back, very belligerent, telling, hey man, listen, you better tell him, don't speak on my family, or I'm gonna do it again. Like, you better let him know who runs things around here. And Triple H is like, yo, you out of line, and you know you're out of line. He's like, what you mean I'm out of line? You know what it is, you know how I am about my family. You better tell your boys, no, it's no talking about my family. And he's like, look, man, this is the guy that won the Rumble. You stepping out of place. Like, you know this guy's pretty much untouchable until Mania. And The Rock starts cussing up a storm, and he walks away. So, like I said, Triple H comes out to address it, to reaffirm that he's in charge and nobody makes these decisions. And then we get an announcement that The Rock is coming to SmackDown. I don't know about you guys, but I feel so scared. I'm like, man, like, you know, like when the principal comes, I'm like, oh, shoot. I feel like something bad is going to happen. And it bothers me. It's because we're supposed to be gearing up for this road to Elimination Chamber. And I'm like, why is this saga still going on? We're supposed to know what the main events are. We're supposed to be moving forward to that. And you're supposed to make up in between to make it make sense up to this point. I'm scared to see what The Rock's going to do or say. It's because Triple H, like you said, Brian H., Triple H can talk crazy if you want to. Rock is still a board member. You know, Rock has made it very clear. Our family runs wrestling, and he's not shy about it. Mm-hmm. And not to mention, you know, the Anoa'i Samoan wrestling dynasty wasn't always treated with respect in those early years, right?
Because of racism, don't know that.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
That is true.
Because of racism, right? Vince McMahon went on record and said, "The Wild Samoans were some of the highest drawing acts, and they were not compensated for what they brought to the table."
Yep. So he gave us a Roman.
Like, that's why we always joked about Roman's Vince's undying loyalty to Roman Reigns, because it was like he owes it to him, because he knows that the Wild Samoans brought in so much money and they were not fairly compensated for their drawing power.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yep.
And now The Rock is like, he's not shy about it. Like, no, we won wrestling. This is what we do. You know, so we got a fully heel turned Rock because the fans pissed him off. We have the Bloodline. We were questioning last week, is the Bloodline going to make it? What's left of it? What's going to happen? Now they seem stronger than ever.
Yeah,
and I'm like, how do you bring this? And now you have The Rock being disruptive. But guess what? In a way, he's kind of in charge. I'm like, oh, man. What are we going to see with this Friday, gentlemen? What's going on? That's the question I put on the thing. What's going to happen come WrestleMania?
What are we looking at? Brought up a good point
about
believing they could be separating Heyman being. I think because we was about to get there. I think the thing about Heyman, his loyalty is still Roman. if you look at the way they walked out, he was standing next to Roman, not in between. Like, if it would have been the thing like the Heyman family, you know, he was always in between. Yeah. So positioning. But I think Friday we're gonna get they're gonna be so it's gonna be so obnoxiously like we're gonna be irritated, or y'all gonna be irritated with the love that they're gonna show each other, and they're gonna bury, well, not bury as in literally bury, but they're going to cook. Because Nick Aldis said something. He said, like, in his video on Instagram, where you now, so shouts out to Shotzi, who's been removed from the Elimination Chamber. She got hurt again doing taping at NXT. Yep.
She just didn't catch a break.
Yeah, and he talked about that. He talked about some of the
Alpha matches. Fire replacing her.
Yeah, and he said, you know, they like to cook. So we're gonna find out. I can do some cooking myself. Well, he got some recipes or something. So I think that's gonna probably be like the closing part of the show. But I think they're gonna cook. I think they're gonna sizzle. I could see Triple H kind of standing there and, you know, rocking Triple H face to face. We know there's not gonna be a match or any physicality, but I do think it's gonna be very interesting.
Brother Hugh, brother Brandon, your take? Because I'm nervous. I'm telling you right now. I'm just like, I don't. Triple H said what he said, but I'm just like, Rock's looking at him like, nah, you need to fix this. And I'm just like, oof. Because that was the first time we saw the Rock as Triple H's kind of his boss. I don't know if that's the right term to use.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he was telling her, you need to fix this. And I'm just like, uh-oh. And I'm like, man, the bloodline just got stronger than ever because they have a board member making their presence known. And for the first time in a long time, I looked at Roman, looked like Solo out there. He was a little cousin out there. And I was like, I was more nervous for what The Rock was gonna do than Roman, and Roman's running the show. They're like, nah, little cousin's in charge. We back him up. I'm like, this is dangerous. This is not okay. I'm nervous. What do you guys now think is going on?
Jay to get in line.
Why do I feel like it's about to be on some NWO versus WCW type of stuff?
I'm feeling some vibes like Bloodline versus Dusty's kids type jump off, or like NXT. So I don't know, man.
We get like an authority faction or something.
Oh, the Bloodline does
Sami Zayn or whatever to go against the Bloodline. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there. I'm just being crazy at this point. I don't know. Triple H got me all messed up.
He got, right. Bro, that messed up ain't the word, man. Messed up Come is on, not the Jacob. Word.
Go get him.
Like, I all I know is all those guys have made up. I know Zilla just, did you see his post earlier with brother he put in the group chat? Zilla Fatu had made it clear that, you know, he reconciled with Booker T and he's continuing at Reality of Wrestling. He's back in the mix, back in training again. And I was like,
that's the direct line.
Oh, I mean, think about it. That's where the Usos went. That's where Umaga trained, you know, at one point in time. So,
and mind you, last year, Samu signed his Legends contract.
So, he did.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he did Facebook. Because he got figures and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So,
all that stuff we're supposed to get, you know, they owe Sammy a beatdown. Jay better fall in line. Or else, you know, I hope he wins the Intercontinental title for Monday. And they send Jimmy for it, like, go get that belt. They are stronger than ever. Jay might want to rethink this. He might want to, like, all right, you know what? Big cuz here, the high chief here. I got to listen to the high chief now.
Yeah, listen to me. I don't know. I'm not going to try to figure it out. I'm done. I've had enough. I'm not fooling with Triple H anymore. I'm going to sit back and I'm going to enjoy the show, man. We're going to wrap this up. We got The Rock showing up on Friday. To be continued, gentlemen. We will continue this conversation at another time. We apologize for the technical difficulties, but of course, you brothers, as usual, do what you all do best. Man, any final words before we get out of here, man? Because this is just ridiculous. Like, we're supposed to have this figured out, and then we don't.
I'm gonna say this. I was gonna say. I think we all at the point. We are finally deprogrammed from Vince McMahon. Because it's like, remember I said last week.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say the same thing.
Like,
excellent point. About it.
A year ago, we would have thought we had everything figured out. And now it's like, it took us almost a year to say, we all say we give up, because that's what I'm going to say. All y'all say, I don't know. We just going to enjoy it. And Triple H kind of told us, like, if I don't like it, remember he made the comment about go a lot and do this, and if that doesn't work, do this. But I'm going to say, I'm going to end on this. I'm happy we're at a stage that we, at a space where we can just enjoy wrestling. And I, like I said, I think 2024 is going to be the biggest year for wrestling, period. I would say this is going to be the year that we talk about. Like, remember when you said about the Intercontinental title, the 2004 and 2006 were good years for you. Mine was 2001. This will be the year that we all talk about what happened. Like, in this, and we're just at the beginning. It's only February. And I feel like Cody running Rumble, I feel like he won the Rumble 2 years ago. It just feel like it's so long ago. It was only a month ago. No, it was only a few weeks ago. You get what I'm saying? Like, I feel like we've had so much. It's so far away. Like, we didn't even talk about NXT. We haven't even talked about all the good things they're doing. We haven't talked about TNA thing. We haven't said anything about MLW. We haven't said anything about nobody else except for this.
They've done their job, and that's and I couldn't have said it better myself. They've deprogrammed us, man. Like, they've forced us to sit back and relax, and of course they've given us plenty of good conversations to have. But man, welcome back, gentlemen. We're officially
give us new tags. Just give us new tags. That's all.
Look at it. Of course, the belt guy. We're officially wrestling fans again.
And you don't want new tag belts?
Of course we do, but you know,
yeah, but this, we get on the board of directors of belts for WWE.
I mean. Yeah. We would never see Brother Brandon again.
Everybody have a different color strap every 6 months. You'd be like, why do you change this belt? We like
all
this.
All right, one. Tony. All right, never mind.
You know that I had to say that because he don't know what to do with belts. He's the exact opposite of what WWE is doing. Like, sorry, it was okay.
He's just fantasy booking his favorite designs. But, ladies and gentlemen, follow us on all social media platforms at Wrestling Realm. Subscribe to our Patreon channel, Twitch, and YouTube at The Wrestling Realm. Remember, youtube.com/The Wrestling Realm. Playlist, Championship Culture. Catch up on all of season one and the first couple of episodes of season two. Join us next week. We will be back. I'm sure we'll be having this conversation again after we figure out what the heck happens on Friday night when The Rock shows up on WWE SmackDown. And so much more. We are on the road to WrestleMania. We have the Elimination Chamber coming up as the card continues to fill out. We will be going, we'll be having our Elimination Chamber preview show, and I'm sure that will also help shape this road to WrestleMania. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, we got to go. We got to get some rest. This is too much. We will see you there. We are out. Peace.
Mr. Ryan Waters. Houston, we have a problem.
Yes!